It's good to be in chapel this morning, turning your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Wow, I get the job of keeping you all awake in a hot room, so we'll do what we can. Wow, so we're going to be preaching this morning about excuses. Excuses. We all use them. We all shouldn't. We love them, and wow, man, do we love excuses. My kids love excuses. I love excuses. And so we're going to look at this idea this morning. There is a lot of excuses listed on people, excuses that people have used to miss work. So I thought some of these are pretty interesting. One said that she accidentally got on a plane. Now, how do you do that? You know, another one said they got stuck in the blood pressure machine at the grocery store. So I think I've seen people there before, stuck, you know, because you go there to use the pharmacy or whatever down here at Jewel, and the same people, they just sit there and sit there and say, are you stuck or what, you know? Another one said his fish got sick. And I'd like to see that. You know, we have a little fish. I don't know what the fish does when he gets sick, you know. Does he puke? You know, I don't know what he does. Someone said that the uniform caught on fire when they put it in the microwave to dry it. Wow. Someone else said they had to miss work because a cow broke into their house and they had to call the insurance. So a few years ago, we had a little run-in with a fox. I don't know if some of you might remember that. We had a rabid fox catch my daughter. And when we went to the hospital, of course, we didn't know at first if it was rabid or not. And we walk into the hospital, and they're trying to ask this, okay, so what happened? We're like, okay, you're not going to believe this. But a fox came out of under our van and got a hold of my daughter's leg. And, of course, nobody believed it at first. No, a real fox. Oh, yeah. I know, it doesn't make any sense. But anyways, that's kind of the same idea. Another one said, the wind blew the deck off my house. Where's Austin? He could use that excuse, and he's telling the truth. So their house a year and a half ago. Exodus chapter 3, here we find Moses making excuses for why he doesn't want to do what the Lord tells him to do. Look at verse number 10. I won't give too much background information just because of time, but verse number 10, come now, therefore, the Lord says to Moses, he's at the burning bush. I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So the Lord gives Moses a job to do, and we know Moses starts to make excuses. And in the next two chapters, he basically makes four excuses, and then we find out the truth of why he doesn't want to do what the Lord tells him to do. And so the Lord does the same thing to us. He gives us jobs and opportunities to serve him. He gives us things that he wants us to do. And you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people think that they're looking for the will of God and they're looking for this nebulous thing when it's right in front of them, what God wants them to do. You know, he wants you to get up and read your Bible. He wants you to be involved in your ministry. He wants you to finish school, at least whatever you've agreed and committed to. He wants you to get good grades and work hard. God's will is, most of it is very obvious. It's right in front of us. So the Lord has things that he wants you and I to do as well. He's calling us to his work, and if we're resisting that calling and making excuses, then we're just like Moses here. And we're missing what God has for us and missing all the blessings. Now, I'll be the first one to say, I don't know, you know, as far as Moses bringing all those people out of Egypt, I don't envy him at all. But I do envy the closeness that Moses had to the Lord. Can you understand that? Moses saw God's presence in all of its glory. And no man has ever seen as much of that as Moses did. So Moses, certainly, he got to experience some great things, but it cost him. And at first, when he was called, he didn't want to go. So he made excuses. You know, we make excuses for lots of things. We make excuses when we're accused of something. We make excuses when we don't look as good as we wish, you know. We're supposed to accomplish a job or a task, and we say, well, you know, the reason I couldn't pass that test or that quiz is because I forgot, or because I overslept, or because the dog ate my homework, or whatever the excuses that go along with those. But we like to make excuses when we don't look good in a situation. We like to make excuses when God gives us an opportunity to serve Him. I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. When the Lord impresses on our heart to give out a tract, and we've all been there, and you say, I'm busy. I got to run. I don't have time for this right now. We make excuses. And Moses does that as well. Let's pray and we'll look at these four excuses that Moses makes. Let's ask the Lord for His help. Lord, we do ask that You would bless this time today. Help us as we look into Your Word. Lord, there's a lot of young people in here that maybe have gotten accustomed to making excuses rather than doing the work. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us this morning not to make those excuses. Lord, help us to learn and to become the best that You would have us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Someone said this. They said, winners win and losers have really great excuses. Winners win and losers have great excuses. So my kids love to, They participate in the cross country every year. And all you high schoolers, girls are still doing it. Guys, you're out of it finally. But the cross country. So, if you lose, what's the natural tendency? To make some excuse. My daughter, one of them, has to run against Justine Lewis. That girl can fly. Lois isn't here today, but she can run. So when Justine sees Diana, she sees Diana coming about 20, 30 feet behind her, starting to catch up a bit. And she's just, without even breathing hard, she just turns it into high gear and takes off again, you know, and leaves her in the dust. Well, there's the excuse. Oh, I can't beat her. She's just too fast. I read about one guy who about 7, 8 years ago, he committed to running. He decided in his own mind, he was a businessman, he was going to run 1,500 miles that year. 1,500 miles. That's about what did they say? 150 miles a month. It's basically 5 miles a day. And he talked about how when he was a businessman, he would fly places and work and so on, and he was tired. And as soon as he'd want to go to the hotel and just be done, he said, oh, I got to go run. So he went to the door and he looked out and he said, oh, man, there's clouds and it's going to rain. I can just catch up tomorrow. And he said, no, I've got to do this. It's one thing after the next. Your body doesn't want to do that. So what do? You make excuses. What does Moses do here? In verse number 11, Moses said unto God, who am I? Are you with me this morning? You're looking a little sleepy here now. It's getting hot. I'm warm. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Moses' view of himself wasn't very high. By the way, that's a good thing. Listen, when our view of ourselves is high, God doesn't normally use people like that. He doesn't. Paul said in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I think it's 1st Corinthians, that God uses the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. It's the person who doesn't have a lot of trust in himself, and that's Moses, by the way, he's good here, he's right. Who am I? Well, you were somebody in Egypt, but you're not anymore. You're just a lowly shepherd working the fields, working the sheep, I should say, out in the wilderness. Who am I? We see again in verse number 13, Moses saying to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? Now here's his excuse. What shall I say unto them? Who am I? What am I going to say? I don't know what to say. Have you ever felt that way when somebody asked you a question about something? Maybe on a bus route, you know, or in Sunday school, they ask you a question and, you know, you try to answer it. I feel like that every time Josh Brennan still asks me a question in class. He's always trying to trip me up. but not really. But listen, what shall I say unto them? Now notice the similarities in each of these excuses. The third excuse then we find in chapter 4 and verse number 1. But behold, they will not believe me. They won't believe me, Lord. By the way, then the last one. Verse number, did I skip one? Whoops, sorry. Let me find that here real quick. Who am I? I'm getting ahead and just going to summarizing. What shall I say? They won't believe me. They won't believe me. And then the last one, I am slow of speech. There it is. Verse number 10 of chapter 4. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I don't know what to say. I can't speak very good. Now, notice the similarities in all these excuses. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I don't know what to say. They won't believe me. Everything's focused on himself. You know, your excuses that you make are always based upon your own ability or your own failures, your own shortcomings. I'm just not that good. Notice when Moses gives these excuses over to God, notice who does all the work. It's God then. God takes over and God gives him unbelievable miracles. That's what we need to do with our excuses. Give them to the Lord and let him do the work. Listen, God has a job, a responsibility, many responsibilities for every one of you. Stop making excuses because of yourself and trust in the Lord. What did Paul the Apostle do? He said himself that he's not a very good speaker. Paul knew his own shortcomings. He knew his failures. And yet the Lord used him as much as anybody in the New Testament. Listen, don't let these excuses run your life. Listen, with a child, with adults, with teenagers, excuses. We all make them. They're like, someone said they're like nails on a chalkboard. You immediately start to think of reasons. Why? This is why I can't do that. I can't go to the mission field. I can't do that. Listen, these excuses, people make excuses because of why they're late. They make excuses of why they can't succeed. They make excuses of why they are the way they are. Because when I was a kid, ABC happened to me. So therefore, I can't be what I should be. And XYZ happened to so and so. Listen, all of us have failures in our past. If you knew me when I was in college, I had plenty of failures. Listen, all of us have failures. What do? You stop making excuses. You teenagers, stop saying, well, when I was 13, somebody did this to me and accused me wrongly of something. Listen, that's nothing more than an excuse. Stop making excuses for why you fail at certain things, why you're not what you should be, why you're rebellious. Listen, I'm just rebellious because somebody did this to me. A staff member was wrong when they did this to me. We've all been wronged. We've all had failures in our lives. Some of us had parents that failed us. Some of us had teachers that failed us. And all of those things happen to us not as a way for us to use as an excuse. They happen for God to use those things to mold us and to make us what we should be. I hate to be the one to break this to you, but every one of you will be failed or failed by somebody in your life. Somebody. Every one of you. And you can sit there and use that as an excuse, as a crutch for why you are the way you are. Listen, nobody questioned me and kept me under accountability, so therefore I have wrong things in my thought life. Listen, you can use that as an excuse, but it's time for you to overcome those things. Excuses are for losers. Winners win, losers make excuses. My former pastor often said this, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's not a will, there's an excuse. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's not a will, there's an excuse. There's excuses for being overweight. There's excuses for flunking a class. There's excuses for being late. There's excuses for everything. Let's stop using those excuses and be honest. And I'll talk about that at the end. Really, that's the key to stop being full of excuses. Listen, we should be sympathetic to those who have had hard times. I'm not saying this morning, by the way, that if you've had a hard time in your life, tough it out, get over it, and move on. I'm not saying that. And I honestly mean that. We've all had people who dealt with us in the wrong way, and we had a hard time for a while dealing with certain things. You know what you got to do? You face those issues, you face that struggle and deal with it, and then move on. But making excuses or just roughing my way through it and getting over it, that doesn't solve the problem. But deal with it. Face it. Listen, if you have a problem with sin in your life, deal with it instead of making excuses. So Moses makes these four excuses. And let me just quickly, again, go through each one of these. I want to give you an answer for each one of these excuses. Chapter 3, verse number 11. Who am I that I should go? Who am I? You know what you are? I want to think about that. Who am I? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner incapable of doing anything good. But you know what? The youngest person in here, you seventh grade boys and girls, all the way up to the elders in here. I don't remember who. Ilio. He's my elder now, I think. All of you, listen, God can use each one of you if you give your life to him. You go in your own flesh, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Go give your life to the Lord and let him do the work. Who are you? You're nothing. I'm nothing. We're a sinner saved by grace. God wants to use us. I love the story. Heard a message a long time ago about the donkey that Jesus used to ride into Jerusalem. All that donkey did, that lowly donkey, all he did was be in the right place at the right time. And the Lord had need of that donkey. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be a donkey. But I want to be used of the Lord by being where I'm supposed to be at the right time. Listen, I'm nothing, you're nothing, none of us are anything. But God wants to use us. And here's Moses. Who am I? You're nobody, Moses. You've been living in the wilderness. Little family, you know. But he was used of the Lord. Who am I? The next one then we, of course, saw in verse number 13 of chapter 3. What shall I say? What shall I say? Listen, we have no message other than this. This is our message. So, are you using this, young person? Are you studying this? You don't have a message, really. If you have something that's different than this, then you're like one of the TV preachers. You know, you're adding things. Boy, I often say this, but I enjoy watching. I get a great laugh out of watching TV preachers. And recently I saw this guy, you know, anytime somebody came close to him, they'd just break out in a giggling fit. And they acted like that was the Spirit of God on them. And I got a big laugh out of it. And I had to watch it again, you know, and get a big laugh again. Really funny. It's not biblical. That's not in the Bible. I don't think Paul the Apostle, every time somebody came close to him, they just broke out in a giggling fit. Right? This is our message. And it's a powerful message. Right? Preaching of the cross is to them which are... to us which are saved, it's the power of God. This is our message. So study it and learn it and then use it. Moses didn't have a message apart from the Bible, apart from what God gave him, put it that way. God has told us what to say. I think it's real simple. Jesus told his disciples the Great Commission. Go into all the world, and here it is, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I'm all for using, you know, the whole counsel of God and all of that, but you're not expected to give the whole counsel of God to everybody you meet. So that preaching there that's talked about in the Great Commission is for all of us to give a quick preach a quick presentation of the gospel. That's exactly what that's referring to. Preach the gospel to every creature. And we have just that little bit of time, that little contact with somebody who ought to preach the gospel to them. And all of you on this side, and all of you in the middle, we can all be preachers of the gospel that way. Don't make excuses. That's our message. What shall I say? Moses, say what God wants you to say. Thirdly, he said, suppose they don't believe me. Listen, there's a fear. I have a fear. I'm sure many of you do as well. That people's response when I talk to them won't be receptive. My wife, she loves giving out tracts. And this lady, there are several ladies in Jewel, workers, that refuse the tract. So my wife, real kindly and nicely, she tries to keep on giving them a tract, you know. And they're all, I think they recognize her by now because they've started to get a little more. Anyway, we're not trying to shove it in their face, but we're trying to show them, you know, that we care and we're going to keep on doing this anyway. But we ought to, we want people to accept our message. We want people to accept what we believe. And just because somebody doesn't believe you doesn't mean you stop. Keep giving the gospel. How many of you would like to be like Jeremiah the prophet? Now, before you say, yes, I would, think about what he did. He preached and preached and preached. Nobody believed him. Nobody got saved from what we know. He got thrown in a pit several times. History, tradition says that he was either cut in half or had his head cut off. Okay? Nobody believed him either, but yet his words, his writings are in Scripture. Listen, our message isn't to, our goal shouldn't be to have a certain number of souls saved or anything like that. Our goal should be to give the gospel. Our goal should be to be witnesses for the Lord. Our goal should be to be servants of the Lord. And it really doesn't matter if people believe us or not. Paul said, some watered, some planted, others reaped. Our job is simply to give out the seed, the gospel. Suppose they don't believe me? Keep going anyway. Don't make excuses. And then the last thing that he says, sorry, I went backwards. The last thing he says, I am slow of speech and of tongue. I've heard people use that before. I know of one preacher that I heard many years ago when he was young. He couldn't speak in public crowds. If you've seen the movie Sheffy, remember the movie Sheffy? First time he gets up to preach and he runs out of the church building eventually because he couldn't think of what to say. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen Sheffy, right? Is that what you're laughing about? Our favorite movie around here. Good old Christmas time Sheffy. But he couldn't think of what to say. He didn't know what to say, but he became a great preacher of the gospel. Listen, you know what we need to do is stop making excuses. Here's our excuse. I can't. I'm not this. I'm really not made that way. I've used that excuse before. I'm really not made that way, you know. I'm just not that type. Listen, that's looking at self instead of looking at God. You know what God can do, right? What can God do with a person who's backwards and who's shy? He can take a Moses and turn them into a great leader. Wow. He can take a Joshua who is just a worker behind the scenes for many years, and all of a sudden he's put out there in the front. And I've seen people in my own lifetime that I said, there's no way they're going to be a leader of men, of people. And they've done great, seen great results. Listen, it's not about that. It's about God. God's the one working in Moses' life. He wants to work in your life. Guys, there's many of you that someday should be up here behind this pulpit preaching. Say, well, who am I? What am I going to say? Right, exactly. You'll get a message from the Lord, and you'll have something to say, and God can use that. You get big-headed and proud about it, nothing. God's not going to use you. But you have the humble spirit that Moses had, and God was looking to use him. By the way, here's the encouraging also with this. Did Moses make lots of excuses? And God still used him. How many of you have made excuses? We all have. And God still wants to use you. And he can in spite of your excuses. Now, here's the truth. Excuses are a cover-up. Let's go to the truth. Chapter 4 and verse number 13. And he said, now the Lord has done all this, you know, hey, I want you to do this. And Moses said, oh, I can't. I don't know what to say. They're not going to believe me anyway. Lord, I really can't talk much at all. I'm just not that way. And finally, the Lord said, took care of all those excuses. And then Moses says this, verse 13. Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And you know what that means in short? I really don't want to go, Lord. Send somebody else. I sure hope you find somebody, Lord. Now, that's the truth. He didn't want to go. Listen, sometimes in our rebellious state, we don't want to do what the Lord tells us to do. And we pretend, oh, yeah, you know, Lord, I fell asleep and I couldn't do my devotions this morning. I'm sure you'll understand. Lord, I would have gone soul winning, but you know, I kind of got behind in my schoolwork, and we make these excuses of why we can't do these things. The truth is, we don't want to. We don't want to. You know what? You do what you want to do. That's the truth. I do what I want to do. I was joking on Saturday. All of the bus workers, we get together, and we're sitting around talking. You know what we're talking about? Food. I love to talk about food. I love to talk about what different people have tried. And food, you know, that always comes up. Yeah, we do what we like. We talk about what we like. Listen, Moses says here, I hope you find somebody, Lord. I really don't want to go. Send somebody else. Isn't that our true response? And it shouldn't be that way. Listen, our heart should be in tune with the Lord. It should be the opposite of this. And by the way, I'll give Moses a lot of credit. He changed. His heart changed. He wanted to do what the Lord had for him from that time forward. Send somebody else. I feel sorry for somebody who doesn't want or doesn't allow the Lord to use them. When Moses said this, this is a dangerous statement to make, by the way. This is the type of statement that God will take you and he'll put you on a shelf somewhere. I hope you find somebody else, Lord. That statement, that'll take you out of God's work if you stick with that. Listen, some of you, maybe you're having a struggle right now. Maybe you're rebelling against God's will, against God's instruction, against God's leading in your authority. You're struggling with these. You need to do surrender to God before he puts you on a shelf. He will. I've seen people, and I'm not saying for the rest of your life, but he'll take your couple years, or he'll take you your 20s or whatever. He'll take some time and he'll just set you on the shelf. Okay, you don't want to do what I ask? I'm going to put you to the side. And Moses, I believe here, very easily could have had this happen to him. And the Lord continued to work with him. Excuses, excuses. I see a lot of you are real tired and it's worn. Let me give you a couple of number of quotes and I'll be done. I'll finish. Excuses really are a form of dishonesty. Dishonesty. Moses was being dishonest. What do you mean, Moses? I can't talk. Oh, come on. 40 years you lived in Egypt in the palace. You never learned how to talk? Go, come on, Moses. You don't know what to say? God showed you exactly what to say. Go, you know, down to Egypt and tell the king, let my people go. Four words. And you don't know what to say. I know, there's more. But Moses is being dishonest in his excuses, and so are we. I'm too tired. No, you're not too tired to get up and read your Bible. You just don't want to bad enough. You just don't want to. Admit that. Be honest. See, dishonesty and excuses. Excuses are a lack of faith in God. Excuses are a lack of faith. It's a lack of trusting in God to do this big work. Remember, 18, 19 years ago now, my brother went to Cambodia for the first time. And when he went, I remember talking, he was just overwhelmed with all the things that had to be done to start a mission or to take over a missionary work over there. All the work that had to be done. It was overwhelming. But that's how missionaries do it. They just figure it out. Jump in, dive in, you know. Figure it out as you go and have a lot of good advice along the way. But don't make excuses or you'll never do anything. Excuses are like dirty socks. Everyone has them and they all stink, right? Florence Nightingale, you ladies, she said, I attribute my success to this. I never gave or took any excuse. George Patton Jr., some of his quotes you can't quote in public, but this one I can. Do not make excuses, whether it's your fault or not. Don't make excuses. He didn't take excuses either. John Wooden, great basketball coach, never make excuses. Your friends don't need them, and your foes won't believe them. Don't make excuses. Be afraid of excuses. Ben Franklin, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Ben Franklin. And then someone also said, excuses are tools of the incompetent which create monuments of nothingness. Those who specialize in excuses are seldom good for anything. Another quote there. And then I'll close with this one. I love this quote. Pastor Stowe, my former pastor. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's not a will, there's an excuse. The will to do right. The will to surrender to God. The will to follow the Lord's plan no matter where it takes you. The will to follow the close instruction of the Lord. The things that are right in front of you. And the will to follow the Lord in the future no matter where he takes you. All of that. Excuses are not allowed there. There's no room for excuses. Someday when you stand before the Lord, right? You're going to stand before the throne of God. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're going to stand in a great white throne. And there's no excuses there. Someday, those of us who are saved, we're going to stand before the throne, the bema seat. And there's no room for excuses there. You know, Jesus doesn't take excuses. He doesn't. He's not interested in our excuses. He knows we're but dust. See, he knows our frailties. He knows your failures. He knows that you can't do things in and of yourself. But he also said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. You know what that takes? That takes getting to know Jesus a little bit. That takes a little prayer time with the Lord. That takes, what do we see Moses doing right after this, by the way? Moses spent serious time in prayer. By the way, I believe that Moses is one of the very few people in the Bible who went on a 40-day fast. He was on that top of that mountain with the Lord. He had no need of any food. That's what it takes. Getting to know the Lord, and you don't have time for yourself anymore. Self equals excuses. It's the way it works. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody talking or looking around, I should say.